The Chicago Bulls are in search of change this offseason, and with change, hopefully, will come a more clear direction. We're talking about some of the Bulls' biggest focuses in this offseason while they're making changes. We're also going to update on basically every Bulls pending free agent and trade rumor around there with the Chicago Bulls. We're going to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Eric Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. I want to start off with this. The Bulls kind of focus, right? We again, talked about so much already this offseason on AK and his talk about change and things like that. But what should be the result of that change, right? What is the goal of changing it for the Chicago Bulls? Because change just for the sake of change really won't change or put the Bulls on a better path than what they are unless they do a couple of things while they're making those changes. And one of the first things that the Bulls need to do is make a clear direction. If you still want to be this competitive team, you need to be better at doing that. Yeah, we had a glimpse with Lonzo Ball. Almost 3 years ago, we had a glimpse with that, with the team being the number one team in the Eastern Conference, even though they wouldn't have stayed there. They were playing bad against the good teams in the league. But again, that was a team that looked like its window could be cracking open, but that came drastically shut down. We have not had a winning record since then. We haven't had a true playoff spot since then. And even in that season, yes, because of injuries, Zach LaVine being humbled, us losing Lonzo Ball, We finished that season 3 years ago where we won like 7 out of our last 32 games, right? So it's been a struggle basically since then. And while the Bulls have had their bright spot, you have to pick a clear direction with this team. And that's going to come via some of the moves that you make. You can't keep being this team that is straddling the line of being a team that's one step away from being top of the lottery and two or three steps away from actually being in a playoff spot. And, you know, I've talked about before where the Bulls are amongst the ranking of the teams in the Eastern Conference. And some Bulls fans said, well, I don't really think we're too far away from those teams. I don't know what you guys are looking at because climbing the standings in the Eastern Conference is going to be difficult. No matter what we have as far as our biases of some of the other teams, the Bulls are nowhere close to being the Celtics. They're nowhere close to being the New York Knicks. And I hate saying that because I hate the Knicks' guts. We're not anywhere close to being the Bucks, even with all their struggles. The Cavaliers are still heads and shoulders above us. The Magic are above us, mainly because they have a young core with a brighter future than what the Chicago Bulls show right now. And the Indiana Pacers, 76ers, and Miami Heat right now are also well above the Chicago Bulls because they've done it better and for longer and more consistently. So we could talk all day and have the Homer view of, oh, the Bulls really aren't too far off from some of those teams. No, the Bulls are very far off from truly competing and being as consistent as what those teams have been with being able to stay in those top eight spots in the Eastern Conference. And so, yeah, you got teams like the Magic who have only done it for 1 year after being terrible the year before. I understand that. And I don't have them, you know, extremely high on the list, but still, their future is much brighter than the Chicago Bulls. A clearer future and direction is needed for this Chicago Bulls team. Rather, that means that you're going younger and then you're going to try to get better and double down on your young guys. You know what some of those teams did? The Orlando Magic, they sucked just a year ago. You know what? They didn't go out and add a super big ton amount of veterans, but their team developed and they took steps up, right? The 76ers are a team. They have Joel Embiid. As long as you have a player like that, you're always in Tyrese Maxey. You're always only going to be so far away. You just got to flesh it out around those guys. The Miami Heat culture is a big reason why. Yes, the Heat disappointed in the regular season for really the last 2 years, if we're being honest, but you still trust that if that team's fully healthy with how well coached they are, that they're going to be able to make some noise. So the Bulls have to pick a more clear direction than what we are right now. We've been in the contingency plan of the contingency plan for 2 years now, and it really hasn't gone very far. And a big part of that as well is going to be what's going to happen with DeMar DeRozan. People are still wondering what that future holds. And depending on what we re-sign him for, and if we re-sign him overall, it really kind of puts us in a direction that then, okay, you got it. Now how are you going to strengthen that direction? And overall, too, before we can talk about the Bulls truly fixing or picking their direction, they have to fix the offense. The Bulls' offense has been underwhelming every year that this team has been together. Even the season with Lonzo Ball, that part of the season, our offense was still very underwhelming. Our defense is what separated us. And this season for the Chicago Bulls was the first time we took a big dip defensively in those last 3 years. And so if you hope that that's going to be able to tighten up, but you got to fix the offense as well. This Bulls team cannot still be playing still be behind the eight ball as far as modern style offenses when it comes down to it. We can't keep being in that area. 19th in offensive efficiency, that's not great. That's not great. That's on the wrong side of that. We have to be a more efficient team, and we have to add some more traditional shooting. We have two players that take 5+ three-pointers per game. That's Kobe White and Zach LaVine. And while, you know, players like Io DeSumo and Alex Caruso really stepped it up three-point shooting-wise during parts of that season, we have to modernize our offense. Now, some people will look at that and say, well, moving on from DeMar and getting a more traditional three in there that can space the floor will go a long way in that. I'm not saying that that's not true, but overall, we have to figure out a way to fix and modernize our offense. And Nikola Vucevic's slide in decline and regression has definitely hurt the Chicago Bulls. Make no mistake about it. When this Bulls team was formed, they looked at Lonzo, they looked at Vuce's three-point shooting with Zach LaVine, and they hoped that that was going to be enough for the team. And when you look at it, 40% in 2020-21, and he's been on a decline, 32% since then for Nikola Vucevic. That plays a part into it. Now, it's not all on him because he was never supposed to be the spot-up three-point shooter that we have tried to turn him into in the Chicago Bulls offense. But overall, we have to find a way to modernize the Chicago Bulls offense. And if we're not going to do that, it's going to continue to be struggles up and down for the Chicago Bulls. Until we find a way to do these things consistently, it's going to keep being struggles. And it's going to keep being this thing that we look at this team and say, hey, we got some potential here. We got some solid players here in certain areas, but we need more. And that's what it comes down to. Until this front office has a concerned effort to try to improve some of the things that are going on with the offense and defense of this team and actually bring in players that we need, bring in players that help up our shooting profile truly rather than just try to get bad three-point shooters to take more of them, we have to be better. And so, you know, picking a direction is definitely a big thing for the Chicago Bulls team. If they can find a way to do that and do that consistently, they have to pick a more clear direction. They have to fix the offense, and they have to find a way to prioritize the players that are emerging and growing on this team as well and take advantage of those things. And if we can do that, that could be a spot where this Bulls team does finally start growing in the ways that we've wanted to see, in the ways that we deserve to see, and even in the ways that AK has said that he wants this team to step up. Let's see if we can do that. But then we got tons of other questions as well. Now, Alex Caruso is one. We talked about Alex Caruso in yesterday's episode. And some Bulls fans asked, okay, why? Like some said, yeah, Alex Caruso is our best trade chip right now. And some say, well, why do we want to get rid of Alex Caruso? I don't think it's a want at this point. But it may be something that may need to happen if this team truly wants change. Because Alex Caruso does offer, has the highest trade value of the Bulls. Now, I'm going to go on to say this. Is that either way, the Chicago Bulls should extend Alex Caruso if he's willing to accept the contract extension at this July, I believe, or June, I think is when we can start negotiating with him, June or July, for a new contract. And the reason why I say that is that when you look at Alex Caruso's contract right now, it's not a bad contract at all. So, and keep in mind, your raises in your next contract are based on what the last year of that base salary was, and Alex Caruso coming in at $9.8 million, meaning, you know, his max is probably around $20, $25 million that you can pay him. Now, I'm not saying that the Bulls should pay him that much. Not at all. But I'm saying that if you do lock in Alex Caruso to an extension this summer, that does nothing but help if you do decide to move on from Alex Caruso. The new team would be getting then more years left on his contract. Extending Alex Caruso right now won't necessarily hurt his trade value at all, where some of the other players, it could hurt their trade value. And I think that either way, if the Bulls don't move Alex Caruso by like the draft or anything like that, extending Alex Caruso should be one of the Bulls' top priorities this offseason, because either you're locking him in and you're going to have him on this team, which nobody's going to be mad at, or if you do end up trading him down the road, they're going to have more years on that contract, and then you may even be able to get more. Going in on 30 years old, still playing at a high level, Alex Caruso, if they can work out a contract extension before the time period of that ends, it would be best for the team's present and possibly for the future, regardless of what that future includes. So I think when you look at Alex Caruso, and what he brings to this team, it doesn't hurt to extend him. Because either you're extending a player that is helping your defense, that has already showed he's going to step up and add to his game as needed, being willing to take on almost any role that you throw at him, or on the flip side of that, you're adding in years for a team that's going to then eventually want Alex Caruso if you do make him available on the trade market. So I think that has to be one of the top priorities as well for the Chicago Bulls this offseason, is trying to extend Alex Caruso if you don't trade him before then, because either way, I think it goes well for the Chicago Bulls if you extend Alex Caruso. That's my personal thought. You guys can let me know what you guys think on that down below. But then we got rounded. We got a lot of news here over the last like 24 hours on kind of where some things sit with the Bulls thinking, reportedly, take this all with a grain of salt, reportedly, for some of the pending free agent and trade decisions for the Chicago Bulls. As far as Patrick Williams, it seems as though that the Chicago Bulls, as we all know, they're going to extend a qualifying offer to Patrick Williams at $13 million. There is some fear, though, that Patrick Williams may just take the qualifying offer and then...
Adventure awaits at every turn in Cedar City, Utah. Hike through breathtaking Red Rock Canyons, bike along scenic trails, and catch a show at the Utah Shakespeare Festival. There's so much to discover in Cedar City, Utah. Check out visitcedarcity.com to learn more.
And he becomes an unrestricted free agent in 2025-26. Now, some Bulls fans will look at that and say, that's not necessarily the biggest or the worst risk to take because of the way Patrick Williams plays. But it seems like the Bulls right now are not in a position to want to lose their 22-year-old player for nothing. And despite some of the hate from that Patrick Williams rightfully so gets, I guess calling it hate then isn't the right word, right? Some of the criticisms that Patrick Williams rightfully so gets is that there's still a 22-year-old player with still a bunch of upside. The superstar upside has come down. You don't want to lose that player just for anything. There's also a fear of the Chicago Bulls that they could lose Patrick Williams out in the free agent market, considering that there are teams with cap space like the Pistons, like the Magic, that could look to bring him in and add them to their already young core, and they could take they're far enough away that they could take a look at, especially the Pistons, less so than the Magic, but they can then take that player and say, listen, if they develop, they develop. If not, we can move off of that right now. So that's where it's going to go. Right now, it looks like the range of Patrick Williams for the money that he may be willing to take is 4 years, $50 million from the Chicago Bulls. And honestly, while people may hear that $50 million, that's not really that bad of a deal. Yes, you want to see better from Patrick Williams, and maybe you hope that he takes that leap, but $12.5 million per year for Patrick Williams isn't a bad number. It's actually less than the qualifying offer, which players really don't typically sign for less than the qualifying offer, but we're starting to hear that that's the value of what the Bulls may have for Patrick Williams. 4 years, $50 million, that may end up being the offer. And, you know, if you can get maybe the last year, that being a team option or something like that, I don't think that's a bad deal for Patrick Williams. So that's what we're getting as far as most recently on Patrick Williams. 4 years, $50 million, because the Bulls are afraid that one of these teams with cap space could come in there and make him an offer that the Bulls don't want to match. The biggest question in that is, will Patrick Williams accept that, sign that deal without going out and maybe signing a qualifying offer via another team? So let me know what you guys think on that one. Also, this one comes from Aaron Kellerstrass. He says that as far as Torrey Craig, right now it's expected that Torrey Craig is going to opt out of his deal, enter free agency. He has to make his decision by June 29th. That's what, a few days after the draft, which I believe the draft is June 26th and 27th. So, he's going over his options right now. Considering he's 33 years old, he may feel that he can find a better situation with more minutes and a run at a title, and that could come with him deciding to leave and going after that. And he could probably get more money from some other teams other than what the Bulls are giving him as well. So when you look at those things, it kind of makes sense if that's what Torrey Craig does do. His contract next year is $2.8 million. You got to think a veteran team or a team that's trying to go for a title could be willing to pay him a little bit more, a higher portion of their mid-level exception to get Torrey Craig in there. But then you have to ask yourself, has any of Torrey Craig's value been hurt by him being on the Chicago Bulls and also being injured a lot last season as well? But it seems like right now, per this writing, they put a 10% chance of Torrey Craig returning to the Chicago Bulls. So that's what you guys, for those that are wondering what the future of Torrey Craig is, seems like people are starting to believe that it's a higher possibility that he's going to leave than he's going to return to the Chicago Bulls. And then Aaron also had In that same article, conversation on DeMar DeRozan. Direct quote here. The Bulls are in a tough situation here as DeMar is the heart of the team. They're best player and they can't let him walk for nothing. But he's also soon to be 35 years old. So Chicago can't go crazy with the years and whatever contract they offer him. DeRozan has expressed interest in staying and that seems to be mutual. So I expect them to work out a deal. However, if DeRozan wanted to go chase a ring with a team like Philly, they have cap space and could do some sniffing around if they strike out on other targets. So still, people are thinking that there's a higher probability than not of DeMar DeRozan returning. But then we got a different wrinkle into that late last night as well, is that DeMar DeRozan, the Lakers have listed as their dream free agent scenario in accepting it. Now, reportedly that the Los Angeles Lakers would only be able to offer him part of their mid-level exception. So that's the thing with that comes into that. But the question is that would DeMar be willing, because there is some of that interest in playing for the Los Angeles Lakers. We also talked about how the Clippers, if they miss out on Paul George, could pivot to DeMar DeRozan. But it seems like the Lakers are right now having DeMar DeRozan circled as one of their key targets coming in to the offseason. They could try to pry him away from the Chicago Bulls. Now, DeMar could make way more money than what he could in Chicago than what he could in LA, unless they do some crazy things. And maybe because the Lakers are so close up to that tax, that maybe they do look for a sign and trade to try to facilitate something to get him to LA. That's speculation on my part, but it seems like as of right now, there's still higher expectation than not that DeMar DeRozan ends up returning back to the Chicago Bulls, which you guys know how I feel about that one as well. And then the Zach LaVine trade scenarios and things. We've gotten everything in the last 24 hours between the Magic having some serious interest in Zach LaVine, which is not anything that we haven't heard before. It was a 47-win team last year, their most wins since 2010 and 11, but they ranked 24th in offense. And because they have the defensive upside that Orlando Magic team has, it seems like a lot of people are adding 1+1 and saying that they may be willing to take a bite on Zach LaVine because they feel like they can weather what he does not bring defensively, and they need what he brings offensively, theoretically. So, top 5 defense in the league, 24th offense in the league. It would make some sense as a 47-win team with some cap space that they may look to say, hey, if we can't attract free agents, could we make a pivot to trading for Zach LaVine, absorbing some of that contract to where we don't have to match it exactly with the Bulls, and then send some of our less desirable contracts, maybe even a heavily protected first-round pick for Zach LaVine. That seems like it's something there that the Magic could really look at Zach LaVine's shot creation to kind of help their offense get to the next level. Or it also says in this that they could wait on the development of Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs to really help extend their offense as well next season. But it does seem like the Magic are a team that could have some serious interest in Zach LaVine out there in the trade market. And then, of course, the Philadelphia 76ers are a team that's always mentioned just about for any free agent because of the cap space that they're going to have. They don't have very many players on their roster next season. So he's been connected to the 76ers in many times. They've also been connected to DeMar DeRozan. He's also been connected to the Clippers if they miss out on Paul George. So I think it just comes down to this, is that what are teams willing to offer? But it seems like moving Zach LaVine is still the top priority of the Chicago Bulls team. Yes, I know you're going to get some people that say, hey, they don't have to move Zach. And you're absolutely right. It's not technically a must because they have him under contract for a few more years, but it seems like the Bulls brass and the front office has gotten to the point where they are settled on moving Zach LaVine come hell or high water this offseason. And for what it's worth as well, from Joseph Zucker from Bleacher Report, he did say that I did hear during the season that Zach LaVine was a potential intrigue by the Lakers. So it seems like as well, but it seems like that came around towards late November, late December, and that around January, February, they had pivoted to other targets. But the Lakers, again, it's weird because you hear the Lakers still aren't interested in moving Austin Reeves, which would be a sticking point in a deal like that. But if the Lakers do hire J.J. Redick as their coach, which it seems like that's the direction that it's going, I would not be surprised if they pivot at all towards trying to bring in a player like Zach LaVine. But we got to see what's going to happen with that. That could be something that's it's fluid, right? The Zach LaVine situation is fluid. We're going to hear a lot of different scenarios around that as well. And so, you know, that's where it sits. Those are a lot of the rumors. Wanted to catch up on that as far as the rumors around the Chicago Bulls and a lot of their players heading into this last part of the offseason. And then on top of that, before we go, the last part is that it looks like the Bulls could be interested in making a deal to move up in this draft. Now, the thing with that is that it said that they could use Alex Caruso to move up in this draft. But then, even in that, in this article, it also says that if the Bulls were to attach their own 11th pick to the deal, Houston may have some interest with the number 3 pick. The Bulls will get a chance at a higher tier draft prospect, though in this draft, you can argue that they have about as much chance as finding a star at 11 as they do with the 3rd pick. And that's what it comes down to. This is not the type of draft. Well, you can. If you have your target and you truly feel that that target offers you the best chance to be a superstar level player, you may want to bite on that. But overall, this is the type of draft that many people look at and say, you have a chance there at number 11. There's not that much separation between them. So I wouldn't want to see the Bulls move Caruso to just move up to the number 3 pick. Now, if you could move higher than that, that if you can have a chance at Asar or somebody, then maybe. But, you know, I get it. Donovan Connect and maybe Klingon go that high. But I still would kind of be willing to see the Bulls take a chance at other players as well. Maybe I'm wrong on that. You guys can let me know what you guys think down below. But this is kind of a roundup episode. I don't do these a whole hell of a lot, but there was so much that came out in the last 24 hours that I really wanted to kind of round up everything going into that. We're going to get back to some of our draft coverage tomorrow on the mailbag episode. But let me know what you guys think on all these rumors surrounding the Chicago Bulls. Which ones do you think are more likely than less likely? How do you feel about the chance of DeMar, Patrick Williams, Zach LaVine returning or leaving this team? Let me know all that down below. That's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Adventure awaits at every turn in Cedar City, Utah. Hike through breathtaking Red Rock Canyons, bike along scenic trails, and enjoy a meal at one of our favorite restaurants. While you're in town, catch a show at the Utah Shakespeare Festival, a Tony Award-winning theater experience with shows going all summer. Bring the whole family for unforgettable moments, from thrilling outdoor adventures and stunning national parks to charming downtown festivals and events. There's so much to discover in Cedar City, Utah. Check out visitcedarcity.com to learn more.